It is the FTN Fast Break Podcast, Episode 6, Monday, August 19th, 2024. What is going on, everybody? Welcome in, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg, DFS, alongside my good buddy, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant. Mike, another week in the books, another week closer to not just the NBA season, the NFL season as well, but excited to talk some best ball with you on today's episode.
Yeah, very excited. And I warmed up when we were out at the Fantasy Football Expo, Zach, in the basement. We had a Papa shot. So I was on fire, got it to 81, feel good, got the double bonus, the one bonus, and then the second bonus because you get to 75. So very excited here. We're in the mode, ready to go. These are not the dog days. These are the days of getting prepared for the NBA season.
Exactly. We have passed the halfway point of the offseason. We'll shout out to the Olympic tournament for kind of speeding that along, at least in my head. And you bring up Papa Shot, man. That takes me back to the days at Gaddy Town here in Austin, Texas, which is kind of was our Chuck E. Cheese back in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
I had that record on the Papa Shot machine there at Gaddy Town.
So. No doubt. It wasn't a doubt in my mind. Yes.
Let's jump in today. Two quick news items before we talk a little bit of underdog NBA best ball. First, you know, and coming out of the Olympic tournament, both of these news items relating somewhat to that. Steve Kerr, not expected to continue as the head coach of U.S. men's basketball. And the report is, Mike, that one of his two assistants, either Eric Spoelstra or Tyronn Lue, are expected, or rumored rather, to be next in line. Again, both of those guys' assistants, along with Mark Few on Steve Kerr's Olympic staff last month. Who would you take of the two guys?
Both are great. Both are excellent coaches and have worked with elite players. And I think that is the key, being able to work with the players and sub them in where they're not normally sub, managing egos. But I lean with the X's and O's to Spoelstra. He's just proven it to me, handpicked by Riley. They wanted him out initially when he took over there with the big three, but he won the multiple titles, did a fantastic job, great with the X's and O's, has the right personality, has worked through things with superstars as well. I think he's the perfect fit. Tyronn Lue is great as well. I give the lean to Spoelstra.
I like that you bring up that they wanted him out right in that first year of the big three. I remember very vividly LeBron looking like he, on purpose, just shoulder checked Coach Spo, headed back to the bench in one of those games early on back in, it was 2012, I think.
Very good.
I'm with you, man. It's Spo for me. I'm not upset if it is T. Lue because, again, a championship-winning coach. I think he is well-established as a top-tier coach in the league, especially when we get to the postseason. Like some of the mid-playoff round adjustments that we've seen Ty Lue make, both with the Cavs and then with the Clippers in some of the series that they have triumphed in over his years there. Great coach, but it's Spo for me. I think because in my eyes, Mike, Spoelstra is the best coach in the league at this moment. Do you disagree at all with that?
No, and you know, you look at what Spoelstra has dealt with, LeBron, Wade, Bosch. The other thing is Jimmy Butler, which is not easy. Remember Butler sitting on the bench wanting to get traded and not getting along with multiple coaches in Minnesota, Chicago. So he is the perfect guy, and I think it will get to my next point about Kerr, which is he will – really influence the right players to be picked. It's not just picking the best 12 and trying to convince the guys who don't play that it's okay. It's about putting a team together that can win the title because as we saw, it's difficult. You're going to play other countries. It's not going to be a steamroll. You really have to put in some tactical decisions with how you play the players and the type of players you put on the team. And that's what I think Spoelstra will do.
Yeah, and I think that lines up perfectly with what we were talking about on last week's episode, right? Like looking a little bit ahead to that 2028 roster, I think there might be some tougher decisions, right? Because you're not taking LeBron out in this past year's tournament, right? We're not taking Steph out. We're not taking KD out. Don't know if we're going to have any of that trio headed into 2028. So both of us hoping that it's Spoelstra, but T. Lue, Eric Spoelstra, I think we are in good hands on the coaching side going forward. Other piece of news here from the other side of that gold medal match, we talked about Gershon Yabusele, his performance in the knockout rounds, but really across the tournament as a whole, and him really campaigning for himself after that silver medal, say, hey, I'm ready for my second shot in the league. Because Yabusele, right, former first round pick, 16th overall back in 2016 to Boston. And now he has signed a one-year deal worth $2.1 million with the Philadelphia 76ers. So one note before we dive into some analysis here, Mike, the Sixers, it was a $2.5 million buyout with Real Madrid. The Sixers apparently are capped by league rules, could only pay $850,000 of that buyout. So the report that I read is that Yabusele himself will only net about $500,000 in this NBA deal because he financed the rest of that buyout with Madrid. So I think personally that that is very much worth the second shot in the league. You can also make up some of that stuff with endorsements, whether it's there in Philly, back home in France, what have you. But I guess we'll start. Where does Yabusele fit in with this very stacked, all of a sudden, right, Philadelphia roster filling in around Embiid and Maxey?
I was really impressed with Yabusele, not just the dunk on LeBron, but the way he guarded the perimeter, shooting from the outside, 6'8", 270. He can do a lot. I think you can mix and match. Of course, he's not a one-for-one for Kelly Oubre or Bob Covington, but he is the type of player that you can put in that can guard in on the interior and go out on switches and guard in the perimeter as well. So obviously his offense, not superb in terms of being able to be flammable like some of these other guys, but he can play that 4-3 spot. He can guard multiple positions and be a valuable bench player for a team that wants a title here in Philadelphia. So I love this. He's a glue guy with athleticism. He's 270, obviously can jump, you know, going to get a second chance. The motor's there. Love this. So happy to see him. To see somebody from the Olympics who was a star end up back in the NBA, deserve a second chance.
Yeah, this is a I love these type of stories, whether you're going back to PJ Tucker, right, in the league, went overseas for a couple of years, came back lengthy, successful, right, championship winning career. You know, I think about Royale Ivey to a lesser extent, Dante Exum for a more present day example prior to Yabusele. And I agree with what you said there. Like, it is a great bench piece, basically no risk, essentially that minimum deal, 1 year. So I think it is very mutually beneficial here. And even more so, right, there's three parties because Madrid's getting a nice payout on that contract buyout as well. So second, everything you said about the player. Two, we know that he's not going to be counted on to be a big-time scorer for this team, but we saw him score in bunches in that Olympic tournament. I think he has developed the mental side of being a role player in his time overseas and then with this French national team playing alongside some other former and current NBA all-stars. So Yabusele to Philadelphia. That wraps up the news of the week. So let's jump into some of this underdog best ball content. This is my favorite part of the preseason process from a fantasy perspective, right? We've got our mock drafts. We've got our season-long drafts and, of course, preseason DFS and the like. But there's nothing like an underdog NBA best ball draft for me, Mike. So I wanted to go through some of the values that we're seeing here early on. Again, we are about 2 months to the day from tip-off. I believe that is October 22nd, sitting here August 19th. Talk about some values. Maybe some guys that are going overdrafted and then look to the end, right? Those 15th and 16th round picks, maybe some undrafted guys that we can get some late value on. I'll toss it to you here first. Let's start talking about some of the values. These guys that you can get, you know, maybe we think they should be going a round or two ahead of where their ADP sits right now. Where are we starting?
Listen, I am a Ja Morant truther. You know that, Zach. My issue is 27, 26, and 26 points per game the last 3 years, 7.4 assists per game over the past 5 years, 5.7 rebounds those last 3 years as well, and he's making 81% from the free throw line. The only issue is going to be injury. That's it. So if he plays 70 to 75 games, he's a top five player, Zach. So right now, he's ADP 15. I get that that's high, but how is he not a top five, six, you want to say eight player if he plays 70 to 75 games? He shoots well from the field. He's 47%. Yes, I know the criticism is he's a dunker and he's a highlight guy, not at 27 points per game, not at 81% from the free throw line, not with the last 2 years getting over eight assists per game. I think Ja Morant is being undersold. The only issue here is injury. And it reminds me, quite frankly, with the NFL of when everyone was scared of Christian McCaffrey because of the injury, and then he wasn't. If Ja Morant does not get injured, he is slamming underdog ADP 15. Tell me I'm crazy.
I don't think you're crazy. And I think the point of some of these values, whether you're talking NFL, fantasy, NBA, what have you, right? These guys are values because there is some sort of perceived risk there, right? Mm-hmm. If we knew that these guys were going to be slam dunks, they'd be up there with the Wembanyamas, the Shai Gilgeous-Alexanders, the Joel Embiid. So I like the Ja call right in that range. Jaylen Brown right now, underdog ADP 22.4, ranked in the 30s on ESPN for those of you getting into your season-long stuff. My best ball rankings at FTN Fantasy will drop on Friday. That's, again, one of my favorite parts of the year. I've got Jaylen Brown ranked 15th overall. So right where Ja is kind of going right now. Part of that, Mike, is that in past years, the wing position is what they call your forwards over there in underdog best ball is fairly sparse, especially once you get past those first two or three rounds. So you'll see in my rankings that some of those wing players maybe jump up a couple spots compared to their ADP just because of the positional scarcity that I perceive. And I think it's even stronger this year because we've seen some guys that were forward eligible, like a Zion Williamson. Now he is classified as a big. So now the big position and the field has been adjusting a little bit to that, where bigs are going earlier now. So it's been fun to kind of see as NBA best ball evolves, that the field catching on to some of the things that we've been doing here at FTN. Jaylen Brown, the positional scarcity, all NBA caliber player. Obviously, some of the risks, right? Porzingis not going to be playing until what, like January at the earliest, I think, is the latest report. So are the Celtics going to be as good? Are they going to have the injury luck that they had really throughout the year, which was on the good side, right? Jaylen Brown played a ton. Tatum played a ton. And there are so many mouths to feed, even with Porzingis out. So I get why guys might be a little, drafters may be a little bit hesitant on Jaylen Brown, but the positional scarcity combined with the talent that we know this guy has, and you think about his offseason from a narrative perspective, I think Jaylen Brown's coming into next season with something to prove, even though he's coming off of a finals MVP. So mid-20s, too late for me on Jaylen Brown. So that's my first value here on underdog.
Totally agree. 6.9 is the ADP for Jason Tatum. You see Jaylen Brown has gone back-to-back 49.1, 49.9% from the field. So basically he's a 50% shooter from the field, despite the fact that he's putting up over 6 3-pointers per game. His three-point percentage, if it can creep back up to where it was in 2019 to 2021, which is 38, 39, almost 40%, you have yourself a winner here. He's normally better from the free throw line. He was 6 percentage points worse, 26 points per game 2 years ago, 23. You mentioned it about Porzingis. Too much of a difference. Great call with Jaylen Brown. I agree. Narrative-based, the whole thing. Sign off.
All right, what do you got next here in the values?
You know, I was against Chet Holmgren when he came into the league from Gonzaga because I just didn't see how he was going to fit, and I thought he had to get tougher. Then all of a sudden he gets injured and loses his entire rookie season and come back last year like a different player. He's only 20. He's at 22 with his ADP. He's ascending on an ascending team. We love OKC. We love Chet Holmgren. 16-8 and 2.5 last year, Zach, basically as a rookie. I mean, that's his first season. 37% from three-point range over 4 attempts. That is his floor. He's developing. He's getting better in offense. The trail three from the top of the key all the time. Blocks, he can easily get to over 3 blocks per game. Underdog, 22. If you miss out on those top elite guys and you want to grab one, I'm all in on Chet Holmgren, an ascending player on an ascending team. Didn't like him coming out. He's been a different guy. Really looked good in the playoffs too.
Yeah, I think we talk about hero RB type of builds on the NFL side. Like hero big is a theory that we have been buying into here at FTN over the last couple of years. And I'm with you. I think kind of Chet and Zion are the end of that hero big type of build that you can employ. And I've seen some drafters here early on going double big to start. And I think that is an interesting roster construction this season to experiment with. I'm actually going to skip my second guy here because I know we're going to have a point of contention on this player. So I'll hold off on my second. I'll go to Desmond Bane, right? So kind of similar to the Ja Morant side of things, where like maybe just getting slept on a little bit compared to the upside that these players bring. Desmond Bane currently ADP of 68.8 on Underdog. My rank 10 spots higher at 58. So this is not some windmill slam. I'm getting Desmond Bane in every single one of my drafts, but we know the fantasy and just the real basketball statistical upside of Desmond Bane. He rarely misses games. I know, again, missed, I think, the most games of his young career last season. Part of that was Memphis decided we don't need to rush Desmond Bane back because we're tanking the rest of this season. So I don't have any worries from a health perspective, certainly not from a minutes perspective. And if you talk about a player that has improved year over year, right, even former most improved player Desmond Bane, I think going essentially at 70 with his average draft position, it's just too late.
Yeah, I typed Desmond Bane into the show sheet, and then I saw that you had him, so I took him off. This is the Memphis hangover. And Desmond Bane is a type of player, Zach, that needs creation. You know, he needs someone driving to the basket to kick out to him. He's not an elite one-on-one player, but playing alongside Ja, he absolutely took it to a new level. I love this call. 68.8 is lunacy. I like your ranking a lot better. Probably even go a little bit higher. Super efficient, makes his shots, his threes. And when he's playing as a chess piece and not the focal point of the offense, he's even better. Love this ranking. Love Des Bane. I had him and I took him off. Totally agree. Obviously, as you can tell, I'm a huge fan of Memphis because I just think they're getting the hangover here because Ja wasn't there and they disappointed.
Yeah, we won't talk about Marcus Smart later on, but he is very close to that undrafted range. And I think that is a great value near the end of your drafts as well. I'm going to call an audible here and go back to back, Mike, because I think we might argue a little bit on this guy too. Chris Middleton is my next undervalued player. 90.7 ADP for Chris Middleton. I've got him ranked 67th. And again, he's one of those wings, right? So a lot of those wings, you're going to see me rank a little bit higher than where their ADP sits here in mid-August. Still well above a fantasy point per minute player. It just comes down to the health for me with Chris Middleton. And I know you're going to talk about the Bucks a little bit later. I get the worries with a guy like Middleton and the team as a whole. But when I'm getting to close to the triple digits there in ADP, I'm going to end up with a large percentage of Chris Middleton, I think, on some of my August teams here in these drafts.
I don't disagree with you on this one. I'm concerned. I'm cautiously optimistic. Listen, there may be no bigger fan of Chris Middleton than me. I was down the shore during game six. I could have got out to Milwaukee to watch that title game, by the way. I could not make it because we're on family vacation. Yeah. I'm screaming, get the ball to Middleton with about 3 minutes left. I love Chris Middleton. He makes big shots. He takes big shots. He does so much. He's so underrated on the boards. I am concerned, though, about the injuries. I am concerned about a player who is a little bit older and is now coming back from multiple injuries. I think he's a player that's going to get old very quickly. I could be wrong. He could have that year this year, and the Bucks could take off. So your situation is well within the range of outcomes. But I have to tell you, he makes me a little nervous at this ADP. Not that I think you're wrong. I just think everything needs to go right, and I hope it does. I'll be pleasantly surprised as a guy who is a Bucks fan, as many of you know. But I am concerned, and I kind of tend towards some of the younger players here. But certainly, I think this is reasonable.
Yeah, and I think, right, you don't have to be as high on the Middleton pick as I am, ranked 67th. Mm-hmm. ADP in the low 90s. You can wait a little bit longer than I want to and still get Middleton. And I totally see if this is a guy that you want to just say, I'm not drafting Middleton shares because I think he's past it. The injury woes, I totally get that. And I think that's fair. So talk to me about your next value player here on Underdog.
Yeah, we forget that Brandon Miller is only 21 years old. 6'7", 200 pounds, had the whole issues off the court at Alabama. But the last 3 months, 20 points per game, 38% from the three-point line with over 7 three-point attempts. Underdog, 44.7, and he ended the year at 90% from the free throw line. So here's a player, Zach, who's going to start, who's still only 21 years old, that ended his first season very strongly, 20 points per game, 38% on a ton of attempts, and makes his free throws. Kind of like Brandon Miller, I feel like this is his floor. he could really take that leap. And I'm looking for young, athletic, talented guys that I saw in college who have the takeover ability that got acclimated in the NBA and are now looking to take that next step. And Brandon Miller's at the top of that list.
I like that call. Brandon Miller was not somebody that I had considered, but as we're sitting here talking through some of these value options, I think that he's going right in a range kind of where Chet Holmgren was last year. And obviously very different players, different positionality on Underdog, but you see how much of a value Chet was at that pick last year. And if you get a second year leap from Brandon Miller here, and he's going to have, like you mentioned, all the opportunity in the world to do so. I agree with you. I like that Brandon Miller call. And speaking of the Hornets, a former Charlotte Hornet here up next for you, I think. Talk to me about PJ Washington.
Listen, I'm reasonable with PJ Washington. People know me from saying PJ Washington was going to have a more successful NBA career than Zion Williamson. I almost got blocked by all of social media for that. But my point was, is I thought he fit, if he could get to the right team, he fills a void. And you saw that in the playoffs. Gets big minutes with Luka Doncic, started to be more versatile. He wasn't just the corner three guy as things move forward. And you saw PJ Washington against Oklahoma City, he went 29, 27, 21 in three straight games, double-double in two of those games, and he's firing up at least 11 threes. I think PJ Washington can take the next step. I am not telling you that he's going to average 23 points per game, but what I am telling you at Underdog 98.3, for a player that I think is very reasonable. If you look at his numbers here over his career, he's entering his, his seventh season. Mm-hmm. He's always been around 10, 15, 13, 11. PJ Washington on that team can absolutely get to 17, 18 points per game. He was with them for only half the year last year. Now he's got an off season. Get that 3-point percentage back to where it used to be back in 2020, 2021, which is 38%. Really solid player that has developed also into their stopper, if you will, on defense. So he's going to be on the floor all the time, which was sort of a problem when he was with Charlotte. And I think he can take the next leap. I'm not saying this is a home run lottery ticket. I'm saying I expect him to outperform his best ball ADP.
Yeah, he's ADP right around 100 there, right? So I think the case with the minutes there, the new fit, I agree with all of that on PJ Washington. So right there next to him in ADP, ADP right now on Underdog 102, Scoot Henderson. And yes, I'm vomiting that name out of my mouth again. Last year, I was all over him, ADP in the mid to low 60s last year. So 40 pick discount from last year. Of course, the second overall pick in the 2023 draft. And look, I have him ranked at 85, so it's not like I've got him where I had him last year and I'm getting a ton of Scoot Henderson. But if you're looking for guards, and again, in a lot of these drafts early on, I'm loading up on my wings early with the positional scarcity, trying to get a solid big in there as well. So I'm trying to pick and choose my spots to get some good guard value. We'll talk about a couple other guard values I found here in a moment. But Scoot, again, very, very disappointing. The two guys sitting on screen right now were two of the biggest. What is Charlotte doing? And again, I misspoke earlier. Scoot, the third overall pick last year, because Brandon Miller got chosen before him. And you got to give Charlotte their credit. Brandon Miller, much better rookie season. But Scoot, this Portland team is going to be horrendous again. We saw what they did with Scoot last year. Let him play, because this team is not good enough to win games. They don't have to tank. They already have done that with their roster construction. Still got Ayton there, Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons. Brought in Denny Avdija. This team is going nowhere. Them and Utah are going to battle it out for the worst record in the West. And Scoot Henderson is going to play big minutes along the way. And I think throughout the best ball season and the best ball playoffs, you get to those knockout rounds, you're getting 35 minutes a game from Scoot. At this ADP, you don't need him to be a 28-7 Luka Doncic type stat line, right? You're going to get the minutes, you're going to get the stats. And at an ADP just over 100, I think Scoot is a pretty darn good guard value here. And clearly the upside, the draft capital, that pedigree from his G League days to really improve on what he did last year statistically.
Yeah, Zach, I co-sign. It's a post-hype sleeper. I'm not jumping off the train just because it didn't work in the first year. But how did he end the year? Yes, I know that's against different level of competition. But he ended the year in the last month, 19.4 points per game, 9.7 assists. He had three games in his last six with 10 or more assists. And he's getting 3.5 rebounds. He makes his free throws, which you want from a point guard, and 41% from three-point range on almost seven attempts. So he ended well. Uber talented, saw him in the G League, had to get adjusted. He has a good support system around him as well. When you saw the highlight on his video and how he had got to this point, I'm all in on Scoot. It's a great call. Just because people forget and his ADP will drop because they get burned and they get frustrated. I believe in Scoot bouncing back here big time. I love this one.
All right, let's close out the values here today. And I'll toss it to you because I know we're closing out here with a trio of point guards. So what do you got to finish up our values here on episode 6?
Yeah, I'm a Jalen Suggs truther. Look, Orlando's an ascending team. They played very well. 23 years old, still Suggs. You forget how young he was at Gonzaga. Last year, 12.6 points per game. But what I love, Zach, is that he's increased his field goal percentage, 36, 41, 47%. He still was attempting over 9.5 shots per game. 3-point percentage, 21, 32, 40% from three-point range last year on 5.1 attempts. He's a smart kid. He's a savvy kid. He's a great passer. I expect those assists to go up as well. And he's great on the ball defense with almost a steal and a half per game. So I'm a Jalen Suggs guy, just like PJ Washington. Maybe it took him a little longer to come around than I initially thought when he was drafted. But I like buying into young, talented players on teams that I think are good. Orlando was very solid last year, improved throughout the year. I like Jalen Suggs. And again, this is not a player that I'm thinking to hit 20 points per game, but a player at 146.2 ADP on underdog, I'm all in on Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, I agree on that value as well. I mean, you get a guy who's starting, going to play into the low 30s in minutes per game. And I think they've done some things to improve that roster around him. And we'll talk about his former backcourt mate here in a few minutes. You've got some exits from that backcourt as well. So I like the Suggs pick. And in that similar range, ADP 133. Give me some Chris Paul. He's a starting point guard again. He's got Victor Wembanyama to throw lobs to him all day. I've got him ranked 111. Again, underdog ADP 133. Chris Paul still right around a fantasy point per minute producer. And again, at least up until that trade deadline, Chris Paul should be the starting point guard here in San Antonio. And then honorable mention, similar player, much younger, not similar player, but similar situation rather. A starting point guard, once again, we assume is Tyus Jones, who's going in the 140s as well. Should start, again, alongside Booker and Beal and Durant and Nurkic there in Phoenix. But get Tyus Jones in the 12th, 13th, 14th round. I like that as a value as well.
Yeah, Tyus Jones is great. You don't have to convince me about Chris Paul. One of the best point guards I've ever seen. I don't care that he hasn't won the title. It doesn't bother me. And what I love is that players like Chris Paul and Stephen Curry have a nose for the ball. And they're great on betting props, and they're great on getting rebounds. They kind of canceled each other out last year from my wallet perspective with those. But now going to the Spurs, obviously uber talent, Wemby, the whole thing, I think he's going to be a real sneaky play, and he's a great value here because people forget how much he can fill that stat sheet just because he was mixed in with Golden State last year. Yeah, great two perfect guys to end this segment.
Yeah, and if you were drafting about a month ago in these drafts, you could get Chris Paul at ADP like 155. So that is certainly coming up, but not to the level I think that it should be. And Mike, we're here. We're almost half an hour already on episode 6. So I'm going to call another audible here. We're going to talk about our overvalued players and our undrafted players on next week's episode. And again, ADP going to shift a little bit, but not drastically unless we get some crazy news. And I also want to note, once again, my underdog best ball rankings will be out on FTNFantasy.com this Friday. And we're going to start firing up those underdog best ball live streams again. So you get the fast break on Mondays, getting you set for the week. We get a little live underdog best ball draft in there on the YouTube channel on Fridays. And that'll be our schedule leading up to tip off on October 22nd.
Yeah, it sounds perfect. And we don't always agree. And I'm curious to debate some of these players with you next week.
Yeah.
Just interesting things that I see because getting these core players right that are on the bubble that are going to be very polarizing, and we have a couple, is really the key to getting these best ball drafts right. We're finishing the streets with NFL. I'm doing the same thing there. So I love the players that you mentioned on your list, Zach, because I think they're critical here, pivot points, and I think there's a lot of polarizing opinions on these players out there.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk those. We'll close out episode 6, as we always do, with a little stock up, stock down. Mike, I'll throw it to you first. Who's your stock up for this week?
Look, I am not a Sixers like fan my whole life, although my favorite player ever is Charles Barkley when he was with the Sixers. And when I was a young kid, we had Moses Malone with Fo, and they went 4-5-4 to win the title. Okay, I can go through that team with Andrew, Tony, Maurice Cheeks, the whole thing, fine. But I do think the Sixers are a winner, Zach. Embiid's never gotten out of the second round. Now they're loaded. Paul George, 3 conference finals, no title. He's motivated. Maxey's an ascending star. I'm a Caleb Martin guy. We talked about adding the player from France. Nick Nurse is a better coach, and coaching matters. So I reluctantly say stock up for the Sixers. I think they're really good in the East, which obviously not nearly as competitive as the West with all those teams. But I like the moves that they've made over the last 2 years. Trust the process, dare I say. I kind of like them, so I'm going to say stock up Philly.
Yeah, hey, when you can add Gershon Yabusele, the bring the French Draymond back stateside, right, that just adds to the case. I love it. I'm going to go actually a little WNBA here. Stock up for me, New York Liberty. And I am a Las Vegas Aces fan, Mike. I followed them. That used to be the San Antonio Silver Stars. So I followed my Stars up there. Now the Aces, Liberty. Now 23-4, defeating the Aces on the road by 12 on Saturday, which clinched a spot for the Liberty with 13 games to go. So more than a quarter of the season left. Liberty already punched their ticket. Of course, came up short, the runners-up last year to the Aces. Liberty now 3 games clear of the Connecticut Sun, who are in second, and they're 2-0 against the defending champions in Vegas. Both of those wins coming on the road. Those two teams meet up actually on week 1 Sunday. So I'm going to have my NFL Red Zone on one screen and my Aces and Liberty on another there on the afternoon of the 8th. But stock up for the Liberty.
There are so many great storylines in the WNBA, and it's grown so much, and it's going to continue to grow exponentially. Love the call. 23-4 for the Liberty. Get out of here. Dominance, style, players. I love it. It's a great call. WNBA is where it's at, folks.
All right, stock down, Mike. What do we got to close out episode 6?
Zach, it breaks my heart, but this is a massive year for the Milwaukee Bucks here. Remember, their title came because Kevin Durant's shoe size was a half size too big, and then they made the run. Then they were down 2-0 to the Suns, and they came all the way back. This is a huge year. Middleton is 33. It's an old 33. Maybe finds the fountain of youth, which I root for, like you said before. Giannis is great, but when your best player, like Shaq, like Giannis, is not a one-on-one perimeter player, it does make it more difficult to get those games late. Now, they brought in Dame, but he is 34, certainly showed signs that he can close both in the playoffs and the regular season still, but they have to work well together. I'll say it now. They make the finals here. You really have completed the circle of Giannis's legacy. Delivered the title to Milwaukee, gets back to the finals. That is a beautiful thing, but it was shaky last year. Adrian Griffin was coaching, record good. Team's going to have a mutiny. They bring in Doc after Terry Stotts quits right away. I want a title run. I think they can do it. I think it can come together. But I also think this could be a nightmarish season. So I'm rooting for them, but I'm nervous. Popcorn gift, whatever you want, Zach. Stock down for the Bucks, because this is a very, very big year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, like you said, kind of falls on the shoulders of Damian Lillard. He's got to come back. He's got to get back closer to the Dame time that we came to know and love in Portland, even just, what, a year and a half ago. And I know there was some talk actually from Doc Rivers this summer saying that Damian Lillard came in a little bit out of shape compared to what he normally would be ready to go at, because he knew he was going to get traded. The trade request was out there, right? And so didn't want to get hurt, wasn't working out as hard. So we'll see. Big offseason for Dame and the Bucks. I'm going to end it. And this This stinks, man, because I've been a fan of this kid, and I like to root kind of for – it's hard to say that a former number one overall pick is an underdog, but Markelle Fultz became just that over his two tumultuous years in Philadelphia, and I had a lot of fun watching him start, I believe, every single appearance year before last, 61 starts, if I recall correctly, for the Magic did Markelle Fultz. And now he's a free agent, Mike, and it's August 19th. And there's just nobody banging down the door, clearly, to get Markelle Fultz into their program. So the fact that this is the 2017 first overall pick, he's 26 years old. And again, it was a feel-good story to see him kind of get back to a little bit of relevance there with the Magic, but they've moved on. They have other guards. Like you mentioned, Jalen Suggs. Cole Anthony is still there, and they have passed on re-signing Markelle Fultz. So he's going to have to take, right, either a minimum deal, maybe just a training camp deal if he wants to hang around in the league. And I can't imagine that he's thinking about hanging it up at age 26. So stock down for Markelle Fultz. And again, sometimes with these stock downs, I'm dancing on the grave of a team or a player that I'm not a fan of. But this is with a heavy heart, man. Stock down for Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, this is pour one out for Markelle Fultz. That draft in 2017, Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Tatum, Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox. Only player there I was positive on was De'Aaron Fox, to be totally honest. But I am shocked how much he has struggled. Never really got the shooting, which is just so critical if you're going to be a guard in the NBA. 22% from three-point range last year. That's a career worst. Only 27% from three-point range over his career. Not fantastic at free throws ever. He's gone down four straight years, 90, 80, 78, 69%. He's trending in the wrong direction. Uber talented kid, played so well at Washington. I agree. This is not a trampling on a grave. This is more pour one out for Markelle Fultz. Hopefully he gets another shot, but just not the right profile. Can't really shoot the three, turns it over a little too much. Not great from the free throw line last year. Not great on the boards. It's just tough. You compare him to Suggs, who maybe doesn't have the upside scoring wise, but is a better 3-point shooter, has improved over his time, better rebounder. That's the type of player that's going to fit.
It's crazy thinking back to 2017 when we were really high on the shooting upside of Markelle Fultz. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about Jalen Suggs being being a better shooter. Yep. So we'll keep our eyes on Markelle Fultz and the rest of the basketball world at large. That'll do it for episode 6 here of the FTN Fast Break. Mike and I are back next Monday, again, diving deeper into some of these underdog best ball overvalued and undrafted players. Enjoy your week, everybody. We will do the same. Make sure you follow FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets on Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't yet. Hit the thumbs up on this video. Helps us grow the channel, grow the show. We appreciate you tuning in and sticking with us. We'll see you back here next Monday. Until then, he's Mike and I'm Zach. Goodbye.